Hey, Mr. One Stop. I'm looking for a record and it goes like this. Dun 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 dun.
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle, the podcast where a vinyl addict meets his dealer. Now, this is a special episode. Ben's not here. I'm live from Brooklyn in the Face Radio studios with a fellow addict that's going to sell me at least one record today. The man, the legend, the grand poobah there behind the Face Radio empire?
Empire.
Ooh. Curtis Powers.
Hey. It's nice to see your face again.
And it's funny that you're on my show this time and I'm not on yours.
Give it an hour.
Yeah, that's right. So it's safe to say that you're a record addict.
I've been known to buy one or two.
Right. And on your show, you play strictly vinyl, right?
I play about 90% because running the radio station, we try to feature like the artists that are sending us new stuff. And if the record's not out yet, we'll play a digital promo.
Okay.
I don't think your face wrinkled when I said that. Like, what has he done?
I think we've cheated once, but everything we play is 45 RPM.
Yeah.
Except on a few occasions we played a 12-inch. Mm. But you mix between...
I will play a 12-inch. I will play a 45. And like I said, you know, just I like the idea. Somebody said to me, a guy called Adrian Corbin, he said, if we don't try to like support the artists that are making the music now, then our records are going to be worthless because the young kids aren't going to like any of our music when we die. So, but yeah, so I always try to support the new breed.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna drop some new breeds here.
Yeah, we're mainly 60s, but we've known to support newer artists, and this is gonna be the perfect time to feature something new. So. Tell us about your show. Tell us about your ever-expanding empire.
It sounds so pretentious, doesn't it? It's not really an empire, but it's a community. It's an ever-growing, worldly community.
With more than 70 shows, I'd call that an empire.
Well, yeah, it's pretty good. As you know, because you were like one of my... I think you were on like episode number 48 of my show that at the time was called The Face Radio.
You remember the number?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Wow.
Well, because I used to do the artwork for it, so I would see, it would be like this episode number 4. I'm pretty sure you were episode 48, and then we had you record this, it was the cheekiest thing that you ever did. On my 100th show that featured Mikey Post, who else was around for the 100th show? My friend Graham, Graham, I can't remember his surname right now. A bunch of people just in my home studio. You had recorded this thing that was like a congratulatory thing, but like you had done it like, ha, 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 ha. I'm in the vaults of...
I totally forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Well, is that all in the archives?
Of course it is.
Okay, so
thefaceradio.com.
Episode 48 and episode 100.
Yeah, at least that. And then I think there was one that you were then... I think we said that you were in one more, and I can't remember which episode, but yeah, you've definitely been on two.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but since then, yeah, we grew into this room that you're stood in, and you know, years ago I was doing that show and on another station, and it just wasn't working out the way that I wanted it to, and then we decided, hey, let's make a station, and then we reached out to all of our friends that were already kind of doing radio, that were kind of doing things similar and a little bit further than what we were doing, and said, hey, let's broadcast your show on this station as well. And that's like how it expanded to this empire that you speak of.
And let's just dispel the myth right off the bat that some of our friends thought we weren't speaking on speaking.
Isn't that strange?
Anymore.
Oh, it's so sad.
Because
the first thing we did was hugged each other.
Well, absolutely.
And we meant it.
And I have to say, I really felt honored, and you just confirmed that this morning, that we were approached, Ben and I, to be part of the Face Radio.
Yeah.
I think we were the third people you contacted.
You were in the top five. I know that for sure.
Well, hey, you've heard it here first, people. And the only reason why we've never made it happen is because of the very... I don't know. I'd say amateurish.
I would just call it loose format.
Loose format. And we never drop an episode on the same day.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can go 2 or 3 weeks without an episode. Our length of episodes are changing every time. So it's not proper to a you know, professional radio station like yours.
I think it's more just the case of and you realize this when you run radio, and it's really hard, is that like I hate working in corporate world where everything is a spreadsheet, but like when you're working out a map of radio broadcasting for the month, you're like, okay, where can we put this person? Do they fill that slot? And if you don't, it's tricky. But
so I think it was unspoken that we both understood that, and we've never...
Oh, we both understood that, definitely.
Yeah, and it's people outside that I get, I guess...
Yo, did you hear? Patrick hates him now. No, that was never said. That was never said.
And I even remember you reaching out a second time, like maybe a year or two after, to see if we could...
See if you buttoned up those loose clothes.
Sorry. Sorry, that it can happen. So, maybe I'm more disciplined than Ben. I think if we're going to trash talk somebody, it's Ben here.
Oh, we should never trash talk anyone.
He's not here to defend
himself. He is kind of a legend. Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't even know if I've ever actually met Ben in the flesh, but I just watch Ben from afar. I'm like, gosh, man, that guy is just like, he's an empirical man.
On the digging side,
Yeah, for sure.
I tip my hat. You know, that's why Ben, we do a show together.
Ben, I want to be more in touch.
All right, you've heard. I'm going to force now Ben to listen to this episode. So, my friend, Mr. Powers, the concept of the show is that there's a cellar and there's an attic, but we're both addicts. But you're going to sell me a record.
But because I'm addicted, I'm selling other things so that I can pay for my next fix. See what I've done there?
You and me both.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you're going to have the first turn at the turntable.
Okay.
So.
Should I play the song, or do you want me to tell you about it?
Tell me about it, and then we're going to, you know, critique it after.
Okay. So about the year 20... Yeah, so we're going modern, ladies and gents. About the year 2017, 2018, doing my radio program, a manager... I like to say the word manager. A manager named Richard Rollison was regularly contacting me and, you know, sharing this artist with me. And for a while, I didn't read it because I just get too many emails, and I was like, oh, whatever. And then one day, I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. We started meeting and doing stuff like that. Fast forward to about 2018, I was emceeing the Living on Soul documentary here in Brooklyn, which was about the Daptone, what is that called? The Apollo review that they did back in, I think, maybe 15 or 16. And we did a Q&A with the directors that came out from California, Neil Sugarman, et cetera, and I just told this guy, who we'll say his name in a minute, I was like, you know, you should come around. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of faces there. You know, just meet people and say hello, et cetera, et cetera.
A lot of faces, yeah.
A lot of faces. And he came, and lo and behold, this artist that I speak of, his name is Bobby Harden. Bobby Harden has sings for the Blues Brothers. He was mentioned actually in that Eddie Floyd book, that Eddie Floyd was able to walk away from the Blues Brothers when Bobby Harden filled that slot, which is great. You know, he's just a lovely man who's, all he does is sings. All he does is sings. He'll just sing wherever you are. And so I introduced him to my friend Billy Oxtick, who at the time runs a record label called Dalla Records. Their studio is called Hive Mind Studios.
So I need to turn around because you're pointing outside.
Well, you're just going to see a big building. But down that way, there is a really cool venue called Our Wicked Lady, where there's a big Charles Bradley mural outside. You should stop by on the way out. And then there's their studio called Hive Mind. And Billy had been a member of The Extraordinaires, which is Charles Bradley's band, before Charles passed. And so I connected them, and I thought maybe it could just be a relationship where they record some stuff. And fast forward to 2019, when we dropped this record that I'm going to sell you. They started recording, and I heard this, and I go, wow.
Were you in the studio when they recorded?
Not this studio. Oh, no, I was not in the studio when they recorded it. I just heard it, and I said to Billy, I said, you know, I'd like to co-release that. And so I founded a record label in time. I made up the name, like, on the spot to release it, and now we're about to release our third release from this artist. They're called Bobby Harden and the Soulful Saints. The Soulful Saints, which features a number of the former extraordinaires of Charles Bradley's band. And it's just a beautiful slice of soul that's modern with, I think you'll find a bit of nod to the classics.
So I guess everything's local.
Everything is local. This is a Brooklyn, New York City.
True and true.
True and true. Is that through and through or true and true?
Vrai, vrai. So the singer is from Brooklyn also.
Well, he's original. I mean, he's been in New York City for a long time. He has kids that have grown up here and are now graduating college and stuff like that. But yeah.
So he's been singing forever.
Yeah, I started singing in the church and, you know, classic, beautiful story. And if you dig into my archives, you can see Bobby on the show, and when you hear this guy, when you see this guy, you'll fall in love with him. He's just brilliant.
So has he been performing?
He has been performing. Yeah, we did a record release for the second record, the second single that came out after this, and a few other venues they played, and we'll be releasing one more single this year, and then the album will release in March of 2023, which will be followed by touring and so on and so forth.
So when you say modern in the sense that it just came out.
Yes.
But the sound is...
Well, you'll have to tell me, mate.
Okay, so we'll talk about it after. All right. So introduce it.
This is BQE's... my record label is called BQE Records, which stands for the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, because I was like, I need a name for this record label, and I'm looking out my window, and I'm like, oh, wait, there's the BQE. All right, we'll have that then. It's the first release on BQE Records. It is the... it was the third release on Dalla Records out of Brooklyn, New York. It was a co-release with myself and Billy Oxtick, and it's called Runnin', and then in brackets, To Get to Your Love.
Let's hear it.
Your love from me. You can't the train.
So what do you think?
Typical to this show, just like I do at Park Avenue HQ, whenever I hear a song that I go crazy over, I show Ben my arm because I and I had you could tell the hair were straight up on my arm.
We've done that twice now. Today,
yeah,
we're talking about you riding the Vespa over the Brooklyn Bridge last time you were
right,
here.
That's right. That's right. That was a tick off my my bucket list. Thank you for that. I mean,
have you seen these?
Well, we're luckily we're not
on camera.
We're not on camera. So, yeah, what Curtis is referring to is that I'd say one of the top five things that that changed my life was when I came over and Curtis graciously lent me his Vespa, and he hopped on his own, and we drove around Manhattan and Brooklyn, and there's this particular moment where we crossed the Brooklyn Bridge, and I'm on the Vespa, and I'm grinning from ear to ear, and once we passed the bridge and we were into Manhattan, you turned around and you were like, "Are you okay, Pat?" And I was, "This is the best day of my life." So,
oh, the small things in life, isn't
I'll
it?
I'll never forget. But hey, listen.
So, what do we think? Are you buying?
Okay, now not only I'm gonna buy, but you need to tell the listeners, or as we call them, the addicts. No, and tell them where they can. They're still available.
They're a little bit on the limited side. So the amazing story about this is Craig Charles and Eddie Piller and faces like that featured this early doors, which was really nice. So by the time the record came out, it sold out the week that it came out. So we did do a second pressing. We did some on colored vinyl, and I think we did a few more on black vinyl. But you can still find copies on dollarrecords.com, and you can also find there's definitely some copies going around on you know, Discogs and stuff like that. But it's not a super expensive record, but we were all kind of like, wow, people like this a lot.
Oh, I can tell you why. This basically, I'm surprised we didn't just whip out the talc powder and put it all over your beautiful wooden floor here in the studio.
We should have a dance.
But this basically pure Northern soul.
Yeah.
You agree.
And, you know, so what makes it, I think, remarkable, though, is that both Bobby, who is just a soul singer, doesn't have the concept of, like, what is Northern or what is not Northern.
Because it, to everybody else, it's just soul.
Exactly, yeah. And so, similarly, the backing band, Billy, comes from a jazz background. He got kind of indoctrinated into the Daptone family because he was a trumpeter playing for, I always forget the Afrobeat group that's on Daptone Records. I don't know why I can't think of their name, but he was performing with them and like straight out of college. And, you know, he found his way into soul music by playing, you know, learning jazz and then, you know, accompanying some of these artists. So even him, who's the songwriter, this was like, it's not his first thing to be like, I'm gonna write this Northern soul song. What I love about that is I hear a combination. It's very Temptations. It's even got a the pizza's here, Al. I gotta tell. We have to tell Al how to do it. You have to go into that room, press talk. Go to the left, press talk on the wall, press the key, and then you have to go down and collect our pizza.
See, this is exactly how we do it.
Click the key.
So, this is exactly how we do it at the Park Avenue HQ.
There you go.
It's unedited and real life.
At least there's pizza, though.
Your pizza's coming.
Pizza.
I haven't had New York pizza on my trip.
There you go.
Well,
we're getting it from Mario's. But back to this. There's bits because of the fuzzy guitar that reminded me of Dean Parrish's On Our Way. It reminds me of a little bit of the, and I prefer, call me crazy. But it also kind of reminds me of who was it that covered Frankie Valli's, what's the song called? Runnin'?
The Night?
No. I can't remember the name. But anyway, we got to let Al in. He just has to stay out in the hallway with our pizza. It's reminiscent of a number of things that sound familiar without ever crossing a line of being contrived, I think.
And those strings also. And it could have been a hit at the Wigan Casino, at the Twisted Wheel.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been one of those top 100 Northern Soul hits.
I think Al's trying to take our pizza from us. Look at him. Yeah. He's like, he's trying to hide it in a place where we can't have it.
Don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it, bro. The plates are in the top right hand. Over there. Open the second one. Yeah, there you go. Bang. Look at that. It's like a home here, isn't it?
So is it obvious that this one sold?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So that was the only one for sale, basically, on this episode.
Well, no, I've got, what you mean? Oh, that's the only one to sell today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So perfect. So the next...
from this release.
Well, I'll be back. So the next few songs, we're going to go back and forth. We're each going to feature recent finds.
Yeah.
And all the ones I'm going to feature were picked up on this trip.
Yeah.
So the first one I'm going to feature is one that I picked up at the Wayne, New Jersey Record Convention that was held yesterday. And we have our good friend DJ Sweet Daddy Soul in the studio preparing us pizza.
And I think he's just preparing himself pizza, really.
So he's the one who told me about the record convention, and in an email he told me, "Oh, you better get early because it might be hard to get there by, you know, transit." Hmm. And luckily, I was talking about the record convention to a mutual friend of ours, a soul record collector in his own right, Michael Robinson. Hmm. And he offered to give me a lift there. So,
well, wasn't that nice of him?
Yeah. So how's the pizza?
You know what's nice is this pizza that's in my mouth.
And basically, we got there, and within an hour, we blew our budget, and we had found everything we needed. So
result?
The first one was actually at... at the top of my want list.
Nice.
And I, you peeked at the label, and I guess you know that song, right?
I do.
And the reason why I started with this one is that as soon as I played it, I thought of you.
Did you?
Yeah.
Bless you.
Because I think it's your sound.
It is. It definitely is my sound. But I got more to talk about it afterwards.
So do I know you?
Maybe.
Oh well, okay.
Maybe.
Well, yeah. We'll keep it for after the song.
I think you do. Let's see.
So I can't believe I got a want on my trip. So this is the World Column, sort of a funky number called "So Is the Sun." Check it out. So, was that your sound?
It was. It was. It's. I would actually refer to that as a classic. Definitely on that Northern Soul scene.
Yeah, but I discovered it just a few years ago. So that's why it hit the want list.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to reveal something that I never made the connection. You looked at me weirdly during the
I looked at him with laser eyes.
Well, so what's up? What's up?
So great little fun fact, and we actually just put it on the computer right on the screen on the phone right in front of you, is that the thing that resonated this song with me more than other things is that a band that I liked long before I had ever heard that song, The Jam, The Jam's Transglobal Express, was literally a one-for-one copy of ba 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 ba.
So that's why I never made the connection, and that's why probably it resonated with me so much. And so I didn't know The Jam ripped off people that much, because I know, you know, what's the bass riff they stole from the Beatles on, what is it, Start, I think?
dun, 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 dun. No, wait, no, that's Penny Green. Boom, bom, 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 bom. Oh, yeah, yeah, like, you're right. It is. That's from, I can't remember now, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, yeah, I didn't know they were sampling that much, but...
Do you get a lot of people, do you or Ben do a lot of mouthy bass sounds on this show?
Oh, Ben does that.
Bom, dum, dum.
And he'll sing, too. So, you're filling his spot perfectly.
Thank you.
So I saw you struggling during the musical
break.
There's
no such thing as struggle.
Because, we're going to feature three tracks each.
Sure.
And you seem to change your mind at the last minute.
We'll see. I like to keep things fluid.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the essence of this show.
Yeah.
So why?
Well, this one is a, you know, to be fair. Well, no, I don't want to show my poker. I want to keep it. But so there's a tune, and I know that you like to stay in the '60s, and this one is a really lovely one, and I know that you've been known to dabble in the Chicago sound a bit from time to time. This one does stray more into the years of that World Column, because I believe that World Column was either 67 or 68.
It has a definite funk side to it.
But this one is a quite interesting one, and I'd be surprised if you weren't familiar with it, just with your knowledge that you know. But
I recognize the label, but I don't see the title for
it. It is one that occasionally you hear it and you go, oh damn, I never heard that. And I remember when I heard it, and I just thought, wow, that's a really cool song. And came out in 1968, Expo Records. The interesting one about this is it's backed with somebody called the Joe Hunter Orchestra. I think that it's an absolute dancer. It's Chicago, and it's cool. And I don't know what else to tell you about it other than...
But can you tell us how you got it? Did you dig for it? Was it an online purchase?
Yes, I dug, and it was actually a deeper dig. I was in I think it's called the Record... I want to say it's called the Record Exchange in London, and they have a lot of records upstairs, you know, for your standard kind of dig around, and you know, it's almost like they never advertise that secret little stairway that goes down into the dungeon.
You always need to ask.
Yes, I know, but
that's a digger secret.
But I didn't ask. I just lurked around the place and found this like little dodgy narrow staircase, and I said, oh. And it said Records Arrow, and I go, well, isn't that convenient? So I found myself subterranean digging through, and this particular record shop, they do a very good job of really, really writing everything on it.
Yeah, it's Chicago Soul Dancer.
Soul Dancer, yeah. And
well, I'm proud of you because you brought it back to its rightful place,
exactly.
America. Steal it back from the Brits.
Yeah. Well, and it's got the big hole. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, it does, you know, big holes.
Big holes belong in America.
We got lots of big holes here.
A-holes.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so, so this one is from Bobby Jones. I think it's a massive banger, and I like to call it a banger. And it's called Talking About Jones. Do you know it?
I'm wondering if I have it, but as soon as you play it, I'll remember.
All right, well, let's have this one.
Do it. You love and comfort you. That was sweet. I mean, this is more your sound.
It was like sweet daddy soul.
Yeah, that's right.
See what I did there?
Yep. I'm less into that mid-tempo stuff than you are, but you DJ less than I do. Well, you DJ radio.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I definitely DJ way less than you do.
So, yeah, is that typical of what we hear on the face?
I can honestly say there's no such thing as typical. yeah, you know, like as a person that does a weekly show for the last 8 years, you know what? Different seasons bring about different. I'll go pretty heavy Latin some months when it's warmer. The last summer, I started going pretty heavily into like your Polynesian jazz, exotica type of sounds and stuff like that. It really just depends on what it feels like. I play a lot of jazz in like January.
So you're it's broad.
Oh, it's broad, yeah.
And the only thing you haven't done yet is, you know, get me into modern soul. So that's. I'm glad you're keeping it for your show. So I'm going to be on your show next. So, now, this is the time. This is the moment you've all been waiting for. It's time for the infamous game. We're going to test Curtis's knowledge of 60s music with Name That Fake Moldy Oldie. All right, so let me tell you how this works. So I'm going to name you a category of music, and it's going to be 60s-centered. I'm going to give you five artists and five titles of songs, and you have to figure out which one is fake, which one I made up. So we'll see if you're in that.
I'm really poor at trivia, so let's see how good we can do. I'm going to be winging this one.
But you know, you've remembered a few titles off the top of your head, which I can
weird connections like that one.
Yeah, exactly. Which I can do. This is why I invented this game. And so you're ready?
Ready, Freddy.
All right. First category. We're going to do about three.
All right. That? Let's
so
see.
First category is going to be R&B groups.
Okay.
Ready? And you can think aloud and talk this through and try to figure out which one is fake.
All right.
So first
and is it going to be the artist that's fake or the track that's fake or both?
Both.
Oh, boy.
So if you hear an artist and a track, they're both real.
Okay, gotcha. So it's not like you're going to have an artist that has a fake track and a track that's a fake artist.
Unless I made something up that actually exists. Sometimes I had to go on Discogs and type in the made-up name to realize...
Just to make sure.
To realize it exists.
That's funny.
That, the whole point behind this game is that you'll agree, in soul music in general, there's generic names.
So generic, yeah.
And generic titles too, which is why this is challenging.
Well, I'm ready for it.
All right.
I like a challenge.
So, and after, we're going to go through every real one, and I'll tell you the label.
All right.
All right. So first one up, Watsy Lombard and the Eastmen, Hum Diddy Dua. So number one, Watsy Lombard and the Eastmen, Hum Diddy Dua. Number two, Mac Tubb and the Shades, Tenderly I'll Love You. Number three, Smiley Moon and the Moon Tunes, Whip It On. Number four, Danny Zella and the Zellrocks, Wicked Ruby. And finally, number five, Rocky and the Grifters, No Limit to My Love. Mm. So we're going to go through the list again, yeah, and you tell me your thoughts.
I need to get some more pizza in my mouth real fast.
All right, so first one was Watsy Lombard and the Eastman, Hum Diddy Doo Wah. What's your feeling on that one?
Mm. So the name...
is it familiar?
It's not. But it feels familiar, but I don't think that it is familiar, and that doesn't mean that it's fake. It's the Hum Diddy Doo Wah that makes me think that it's real. But I'm not sure. I haven't made my decision yet.
We're talking about R&B groups.
Yep.
All right.
So that's why the name makes me think it could be real.
All right. Maktub and the Shades, Tenderly I'll Love You.
So Tenderly I'll Love You is the part that definitely makes me think that it could... I mean, it's so generic that it could be a real one or a fake one. It's
now you're getting the hang of it.
It's the Mac Tub that sounds like complete bollocks.
All right. So Smiley Moon and the Moon Tunes, Whip It On.
It's a good one. If you pull this one off, that's a good one. The Smiley Moon and the Moon Tunes... I'm to be honest with you, I'm not familiar with any of them. So and Whip It On, I don't think Whip It On would be a song from the 60s. Let's go through the last other ones.
Okay, so number four, Danny Zella and the Zellrocks, Wicked Ruby.
I actually do think that one's a real one. I could be wrong, but
I'll give you that one. You know what? That one came on Fox. It's an R&B rocker.
Okay.
So yeah. You're
It was the Zellrocks and the Wicked that, you know, I was just like, okay, it sounds like something that
rang a bell.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, Rocky and the Grifters, No Limit to My Love.
The name sounds really on. No Limit to My Love, again, very generic.
It's No Limit to My Love.
No Limit to My Love, yeah. It sounds really generic and could have been a real one.
Are you gonna pull the trigger?
I think I am. I need to hear the first two again.
Okay, so Watsy Lombard and the Eastman, mm-hmm, Hum Diddy Doo Wah, mm-hmm, and Maktub and the Shades, Tenderly I'll Love You.
I think I'm gonna call Maktub being the fake.
That's an R&B popcorn tune that came on Hub, H-U-B.
Okay.
So that's true. All right. So I'll go with the ones that are real, and I'll keep the fake one for the last one.
So I'm good. Might as well at least narrow it down, right? It's like, yeah. What are those TV show games where it's just like, okay, I get like 30 points for the second one?
Yeah, sure. There's no rules.
Then let's go ahead and say Lotsy Lombard's fake.
Which one?
The Hum Diddy Doo Wah.
Oh, yeah. Watsy Lombard. No, that's true. It's R&B doo-wop. Yeah, because of the title, it has a doo-wop, mm-hmm, you know, connotation. That came out on Glow.
Oh, all right.
So you're left with Smiley Moon and the Moon Tunes, Whip It On, Danny Zella and the Zellrocks, Wicked Ruby. Oh, no, you said that. Yeah. That's eliminated. And Rocky and the Grifters, No Limit to My Love.
I mean, I might as well fail one more time if I'm right. At least this pizza's good. I'm going to say Smiley Moon is a fake.
That came out on Star.
Damn.
It's an straight R&B.
So it is the Grifter guy.
No, it's Rocky. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm, you're right. Rocky and the Grifters, No Limit to My Love. Right. That was my own.
And that was like the most, to be honest with you, generic, corny one, and I should have just gone with it at first, but
All right. Well, you're 0 for 1.
All right.
Okay, so let's go with something you're a bit more familiar with. All right. Female Northern Soul singer.
Okay.
How's that? All right, number one, Diane Castle, Somebody Else's Baby.
Okay.
Number two, Mary Capers, A Love Contract. Number three, Judy Murdoch, Baby, Let Me Be Your Baby. Number four, Lucille Mattis, I'm Not Your Regular Woman. And five, Ernestine Edie, The Change.
Hmm. Some good ones and some challenges as well.
Is there one you recognize right off the bat?
Not at all. Not at all.
There's some known labels in there. So you could basically, if I told you the labels, it would help. But let's go through it one
more
time.
That would give everything away.
So Diane Castle, Somebody Else's Baby.
Mm-hmm. I actually think that one's a real one.
You are correct. All right. Mary Capers, A Love Contract.
I think that one's real too.
Judy Murdoch, Judy. I went through, so might as well say it. Yeah,
that was the fake one.
That was the fake one. All right. So,
see, I thought the fake one was the one that had "baby" in the title twice.
Yeah, Judy Murdoch, "Baby, Let Me Be Your Baby." That's Pure Normative Soul. It came out on Tower.
Did it?
Yep. So Diane Castle, the first one, Somebody Else's Baby, came out on Decca.
Mm-hmm.
Lucille Mattis, I'm Not Your Regular Woman.
I knew that was real because it didn't flow off your tongue like one that you had made up on your own.
Well, because of my French Canadian accent, yeah. That came out on ABET.
Hmm. Great label, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Ernestine Edie, The Change, came out on Junior.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary Capers, A Love Contract, that was a fake one. And here's the interesting thing.
It was a Love Contract. That sounds really legit. But it would have, to me, I thought it sounded a bit 70s, like Crossover Northern.
Yeah.
But
so, you know, you could bring me in your team for, you know, for your label. I could find great titles. And so here's the funny thing. Mary Capers is somebody who asked me to be friends on Facebook.
Oh.
And I went to check her profile, and it's a fake profile.
Oh, Mary. Mary, why are you bugging?
Perfect. That's going to be one of the artists. So Mary Capers is a fake Facebook profile.
Oh, boy. Oh, Mary.
All right. So
let's see if I can get this one wrong, too.
Right. Oh, okay. So
you have a third one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, I got plenty.
I do this all day.
We could switch it up and go with funk male singers.
Oh, boy.
How's that?
Mm.
All right. So number one, Bobby McRae, God Gave Me Some Soul.
Mm.
Number two, Dr. John, The Night Tripper, Mama Rue. Number three, Chuck Carbo, Can I Be Your Squeeze? Four, Leroy Redding, Take Me As I Am. And finally, Artis Satterfield, Hot Pants.
What was his name?
Artis. T-U-S.
T-U-S, Artis, yeah, okay.
Satterfield,
okay.
With Hot Pants.
Okay. So let's go back through them again.
So Bobby McRae, God Gave Me Some Soul.
I think that one's real, even though, like, I'm suspect on the fence because of, like, George McRae being a 70s, and I'm not familiar with a Bobby McRae. So let's see here. I'm not going to answer it yet. I'm going to let it marinate a little bit more.
The second one, the actual name of the artist is Dr. John the Night Tripper.
That's real.
Mama Rue. You're right. It's on Atco.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Isn't it sad that's the only one I knew? I told you I'm horrible at trivia.
Number three, Chuck Carbo, Can I Be Your Squeeze?
So there's a part of me, and it's a part of me that thinks, no, I think I know which one is fake, but I'm going to, carry on.
Leroy Redding, Take Me As I Am, and Artis Satterfield, Hot Pants.
So the name Artis would be a very Southern name. And Satterfield doesn't sound like a name that would back Artis. Though I'm on the fence with the mixture of what feels like Leroy Hudson and Otis Redding. And I've also never heard of a Leroy Redding.
But
so you have to give me props for, you know,
these are good.
Finding really obscure artists.
These are good, but that's what you
could
do.
All be fake,
but that's what you do well, isn't it? So
yeah, I'm a bullshitter.
Okay, I'd like the song titles for artists and Leroy again.
Leroy Redding, Take Me As I Am.
Uh-huh. And what's artist Satterfield's song called?
Hot Pants.
I think I'm gonna throw oh man, this is a really tough one. Because I'm pretty sure it's one of these two that's the fake.
Can you? No pressure, but you're 0 for 2, right?
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying yeah, I should go back and rethink. What are the other names in this list, sir?
So which one you were gonna say?
You got me all uncomfortable now. I'm gonna say. But now you made me. You're making me reconsider that the first two that I've written off as being real may not be real. But I'm just going to go with my gut, and I'd rather go down in the burning ship I don't know what I'm even trying to say. I'm going to go ahead and say that Leroy Redding is the fake.
That came out on a label called Arno. Ever heard of Arno?
No.
As a label?
Well, no, I have not.
He's real.
Okay. All right.
So, Dr. John, the Night Tripper, Mama Roo, that came out on Atco. So, yep. We all know Atco. Mm-hmm. Chuck Carbo, Can I Be Your Squeeze? That's a funk song with breaks.
Yep.
We all love our breaks.
Yeah.
That came out on Fireball.
Okay.
Artist Satterfield, Hot Pants, that came out on Axis. And the fake one is Bobby McRae, God Gave Me Some Soul.
And you know what's annoying is I said it up front is that, you know, because I know Gwen McRae, I know George McRae, like Florida funk soul. And so I bollocked that one pretty good, huh?
Welcome to Addicted to the Needle.
Welcome to being a loser.
All right, so it's my turn, I think, right? Oh, no, what did we play last?
Oh, no, you're right. We played Talking About Jones, so it is your turn.
So this is a find on this trip. I think it was the first place I stopped on the way. I think it's in Long Island, a place called... what's it called? I'll remember during the musical break. And I don't really remember how it sounds. I know it's Northern Soul. It came out on Verve. Yeah. It's a Gene Stridell, Let Her Go. Sounds familiar?
The name Gene Stridell sounds familiar. I don't know if I know the song.
It could have been part of the name that fake.
I know.
Movie.
I know. It's quite good.
Usually, sometimes I do that. I put in a real record I own into the real ones.
Right.
So this could have been one.
It could.
So I don't remember how it sounds. I just know I bought it on this trip and I like it.
All right.
Let's do it.
She'd always been my baby until you.
Well, that one was interesting, Patrick. Definitely not Northern Soul.
I got fucked there. But I remember why I bought it, though.
Yeah, it's groovy. I like the ching 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 with the organs, which are pretty interesting. It's definitely kitsch, super kitsch.
This is a recurring theme on the show with Ben and I, and we just started a new segment when we this could have been on that segment called Hip or Slip, Go-Go or No-No. Because we've talked this at length on the show, where there's a fine line between cool and kitsch.
Yeah.
And on which side of the line?
I'll give you that. It was cooler than kitsch. Okay. But it's definitely kitsch, though.
So
you're saying that
I don't mind.
There cannot be both.
Not necessarily. I think it's either cool or it's not.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'd give it cool then. Okay. I mean, it was definitely cool.
It's definitely popcorn, R&B, new breed.
But interestingly enough, there was and I was trying to I had it in my brain before we started talking. There's a payoff in the chorus that the way that the vocal flow. And this is why you're probably going to wrinkle your face when I say it. It reminded me of a little bit of that kind of, and I don't get upset when the song plays unless it plays all the time, but it reminds me of a little bit of that corniness. He said something, and his delivery of the end of the sentence, it reminded me of the Snake.
No, well, I didn't even react.
Yeah.
Because it's a classic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
well, the only reason why I don't like the Snake is because Trump ruined it.
Well, there is that. Yeah. But it is one of those ones. It is one of those tracks that it's like Marmite. Like nobody, I'm one of those ones who's on the fence about it. Like if I hear it, I'm like, you know what? It's a dancer and it's a good
song.
You're
talking about the Snake.
The Snake, yeah. But some people absolutely hate it. So, and I'm not that person. I'm not either. But with this song, the way the vocal delivery reminded me very much of the way that that he, I could hear Al Wilson. Yeah, I knew it was an Al, but because you were in the room, I couldn't figure out which Al it was. It definitely it has a little bit of that Al Wilson kind of vocal delivery, but it's groovy. It was groovy.
He might be a blue-eyed soul kind of guy. I'm not sure.
I would almost definitely. I mean, his name's Strydell. I would say. Between Strydell and... Yeah, I'd definitely say it was.
Yeah. All right, so...
Jackie Wilson worked really hard to get that vocal tone that was like that era.
Well, yeah, it was typical of that era, absolutely. So, hey, is it a hip or a slip? A go-go or a no-no?
I'm gonna go ahead and keep it as a go-go.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I think it's, well, I wouldn't have bought it, obviously.
It's not one that I think that I would be like, I would go-go to all the time. But if it were on and I was in a venue, I'd be like, yeah, it's pretty groovy. It's definitely a cocktail song.
Right.
So
we're last night I was invited to DJ our friend in the studio here, Al, DJ Sweet Daddy Soul, at his night, Soulfinger. Mm-hmm. And my early set, if Al remembers correctly, was sort of a popcorn, new breed R&B. That's the early type of set I like to do, and then I work up to like those 100 miles.
That's an hour, the cocktail hour tracks, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
When people are trickling in, so I did play a few tracks that remind me of this, and I think it went down well. I see Al is nodding as he's digesting the pizza.
I'm consuming the pizza on the microphone right now.
So you're up next. This one is not for sale. This is the one you want to feature, right? Or if I twist your arm.
Maybe. You know, I am...
Is that your only copy?
It is my only copy, yeah.
Okay, so I wouldn't do that to you.
You know, I just pulled this one out. Actually, because I wanted to go modern, and because you liked...
You want to tease me.
Yeah, because I want to tease you. But I think that it's pretty cool. I was going to... What my third one was going to be, actually... I'll just let you guys know right now, was a really cool one from the Shout record label, from Jerry O.
Oh, yeah. Does that have Boogaloo in the title?
Doesn't every single release on the Shout record label have the song? Because I'm pretty sure there's like Arabian Boogaloo. There's like Funky Boogaloo. There's lots of Boogaloos.
Yep.
This one in particular was a Funky Boogaloo. And I was like, yeah, Patrick will definitely like that. But we'll save that for the Rendezvous coming up soon.
Oh, sure.
I figure we'll go.
I think I have that record in my collection.
Another one that I actually dug out from that same shop in London. Funny enough.
Oh, there you brought
go.
It back.
There
great.
You go.
I approve.
But this one was a really cool one, and I dig, you know, I dig that there are artists that are still doing stuff, and I don't necessarily think that all the artists have to sound. I wouldn't want an artist to sound like they were just trying to be from an era, but and this one doesn't. So I dig into that. But this was a cool.
I don't have that reservation. I don't care.
But the
because I remember when I first interviewed. Boogaloo in the Daptones. Mm. And I asked him, how do you feel that they categorize your sound as vintage? He goes, no, we just do soul.
Yeah.
So I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but yeah, but I mean,
but
I think
some, you're right. Some are trying.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Yeah. And they're working their butts off to make sure that it sounds like old, like they're in like the smallest like box room that they're in when in actuality, they all have like really great equipment that they're just like distorting so that it sounds like they're recorded in, you know, a but poor you place have, in Alabama.
You have to give that to Daptone. They were actually in a room with old tape and doing.
But that's why it sounded rich and it sounded, you know, authentic. Intentional. Yeah. As opposed to like, you know, whatever. So but this one is a cool one. And I think that they're from this artist is from like Amsterdam or something like that.
Interesting.
And I heard this from my friend. Nick and Sophie that do a radio program on they do a record label called the Big AC Records, and they do a radio program on the Face Radio called the Big AC Records Show. And Nick and Sophie are husband and wife tag team duo DJs and radio people and all that kind of good stuff. And I had heard one of this artist's track during COVID from Sophie, who featured it. Sophie's also one member of Noble and Heath, the DJ duo in London. And but this is just a really cool one from a group called Michelle David and the True Tones. Michelle David is also a part of Michelle David and the Gospel something. I can't remember. Gospel something. So they definitely bring a bit of a gospel. And I dig like the name behind this. It's called It's Gonna Be All Right. I'm such a sucker for like optimism and positivity and stuff like that.
You might be winning me over. I haven't heard it yet, but
You're
selling it hard.
Well, let's see. I'm, as most people would know, I am generally the positive guy, or at least try to be.
You are.
So
I can attest.
So this one is called "It's Gonna Be All Right" from Michelle David and the True Tones.
Can't get away. scripture that says, weeping may endure for a night, but all joy, joy comes in the morning. And everything, I said everything, will be all right.
There's a party atmosphere in the Face Radio studios.
Be all right.
Yeah,
took that one to church.
I'm joining you to the dark side. You know what? I don't consider this like modern soul. This is just straight up
it's just
good
new.
Soul.
I use the word modern because when you think about the reason that people called modern soul is because it... Post the 60s, it was the music that was coming out at the time, so it was modern.
No, but modern soul,
I know, it's a sound
now. In my mind, is like on the verge of being a cross between boogie and disco.
See, I call that crossover.
Crossover is, in my mind, again, is it's a lot of strings and it's like at the tail end of Northern Soul.
Yeah, that's what I think of it. Well, okay, all right.
But this is just straight up soul.
See, I always think of modern soul as just a bit more like mid tempo, kind of stringy, kind of lovely, kind of.
Yeah. We could have a long debate over that.
Yeah,
but
we'll save that for another time.
No, this is plain good. And I hate to make the same nexus as we did during our conversation, but this sounded a lot like Sharon Jones of the Dap Kings.
I heard it as well. Yeah,
her voice is very similar. So
and powerful.
So I'm sort of you're an optimistic guy, positive guy. You made me think, maybe we found our next Sharon Jones there, because I took her passing very personally.
Yeah, as well. I did as well. It was very sad. Very, very sad.
Because she's from, I don't know, how far is the studio from here?
Literally right around the corner.
Wow.
Yeah, we're a 5-minute walk, probably. So, yeah.
Oh, maybe I should go take a picture.
Yeah. So this one actually came out in 2022, this year, on One World Records. So
where can we find it?
I bought it on Juno. Juno is a really cool site especially if you're outside of the UK, they don't charge VAT, so the price of the actual records is less, and so on and so forth. But that's where I found it. But it looks like, I'm seeing One World Records, so I bought it from Juno. So
it's has two thumbs up. Parka Avenue approved. Addicted to the Needle approved. And Al is raising his hand. And we're all dancing to that, all clapping our hands. And Al said during the musical break, he said, you got me at the hand clapping.
At the clapping, yeah.
And I'm a sucker for that.
I was having a dance kind of in between, like I was at a bar mitzvah and at a at a Baptist church. So if only you could have seen it, ladies and gents.
Yeah. Well, on Curtis's show, he streams live with cameras. I was never able to convince Ben to do the same thing, but yeah.
But when you've got a face for radio like me, why wouldn't you want to be
the
on
the face radio? All right. So before we end off with another find from the New Jersey Record Convention, I'm adding to my suite, my ever expanding superhero suite. I'm going to ask Curtis to plug whatever he wants. Now's the time.
Hi.
Well, your show.
I would. Oh, yeah. I do a show called The Rendezvous on the Face Radio every Sunday. It's from 2 to 4. You may or may not love it. I definitely cross over a lot of different genres in the soulful realm. From soul funk, disco boogie, jazz funk, sometimes reggae, sometimes Latin, sometimes kind of all over the map. Just depends on the weather.
So I'm going to be up in about an hour.
There you are.
All right. So let me introduce you the last song.
One for the road.
One I bought from one of my favorite record dealers, Barry Soltz. Came out straight from one of his boxes. And you'll understand why I chose this one. It's from it's on Baytone Records, Johnny Morissette. And it's Batman for Days. Mm. I listened to the start, and like a lot of us diggers do, if we like it in the first 10 seconds, we buy it. So I didn't even listen to the whole thing yet. So we're going to hear it for the first time together.
Love it.
All right. So thanks again, Curtis.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
And we're still friends.
I heard that. Thanks, mate. It's a pleasure to be on yours.
All right, so as always, keep on keeping on.
Big Mama.